Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you and welcome to Islam on Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, what should be the Muslim's response to employment discrimination?
Muslims face massive discrimination when applying for jobs, according to the first scientifically validated French study of an anti-Muslim bias among employers in France. The French study found that a fictional job applicant with a traditionally Christian first name was more than 2.5 times more likely to receive a response from a potential French employer than an identical applicant with a Muslim name. The Home Office in Britain carried out a similar study which pointed to the high unemployment rate among Muslims compared to any other religious group. The study stated, individuals and organizations from a variety of religious traditions have begun to argue that discrimination exists on grounds of religion and that it deserves to be taken as seriously as discrimination on other grounds. In this episode, Islam in Life will investigate how Muslims should respond to employment discrimination.
This is a very important question in Europe today, not only in Europe, by the way, also in the US and in all the Western countries. The atmosphere, all these discussions and these controversies around Islam have an impact on anything which has to do with employment and social justice and equal opportunities within the society. And all the statistics and surveys are showing today that in France, but not only in France, in Germany, in the UK, in the States today, the situation of the Muslims on the job market is quite difficult. You come with an Arab name or a perceived Islamic name, or when you fill an application and you try to get a job, if you don't have a Christian name or an understood Western traditional name, you can just face discrimination. And this is the case wherever you go in Europe today. And this is connected with all these campaigns and all these controversies around Islam. So there is something which can be connected to Islamophobia or racism against Muslims. But at the same time, it has to do with the true socioeconomic questions that we have to deal with within our Western societies. So these are critical questions. Should not be confused with religion, but still the religious dimension, it's important. To answer all these questions, I'm joined by Maqbool Javed, an employment lawyer and founding member of Association of Muslim Lawyers here in the UK. Thank you for being with us today. We were talking about the statistics, we were talking about the situation. You are on the ground and you are dealing with this. So what is your sense? Yesterday, we were talking about Pakistani, Bangladeshi, or Turkish people, or Arabs. Today, it's very, very often the case that we are talking about Muslims, and Muslims are targeted as such. Is this the reality that you can see, and is this the reality of, the for example, the British job market?
Yes, I mean, that is the reality, and there's enough evidence carried out by research studies and the government itself and other organizations such as the Equality and Human Rights Commission that has found that if you are from certain groups and if you're in a Muslim, then you are likely to face discrimination. Mm. And this is evidenced, as I say, by studies, but also by the figures showing unemployment being highest amongst those ethnic groups in which Islam is the predominant faith.
So, but here there is a point. This is not new. All the immigrants and the new residents in any Western societies or everywhere around the world have been facing discrimination. What is new in this? Is it the reality that now you can have people in charge of an enterprise or anything that are targeting the Muslims because they are Muslims? Yesterday we were talking about ethnicity, and today are we right to speak about religion? Is this something that we have evidences, and this is something that is perceivable on the ground?
No, it is. And as you alluded to in your opening comments, it's because of the environment that is created and the stereotypical assumptions that are made about people who are Muslims. So that if you read the media, if you listen to politicians, if you, as I say, you know, you're watching documentaries and programs, there's a certain image and messages that you get about Muslims. And if you're an employer, you're looking to run your business, or if you're in the public sector, you know, you're wanting to provide a service, you're looking to obviously run an efficient organization, and you will want to get people who are going to be able to deliver that. And part of the message that you have about Muslims is they're going to be difficult, they're going to be trouble, there may be terrorism associations, and therefore you'd rather keep them out.
So the global, the overall atmosphere, it's quite negative. We had many situations, and mainly today on the job market, we don't really talk about this, but women wearing the headscarf are facing problems. For example, we had a case right now in Switzerland where a woman, a journalist, cannot work because of the headscarf. They are not; it's not possible for them to be visible in the job market or within the enterprise. So this is something that we see today in Europe, and as we are saying, it's connected to the atmosphere. What should be and could be the first reaction? The problem that I may have sometimes with some of the European Muslims, but also it's the same in the States, they are coming with, okay, it's a religious concern, so we have to respond to it religiously. While if we talk about the job market and economy, it has to do with, you know, fighting discriminations and injustice and social injustice on the ground. What would be the best strategy when it comes to analyzing what is happening and try to find a way to respond to the situation?
Well, I mean, I think that the strategy obviously is to create a level playing field and eliminate that injustice and discrimination. And there is recognition amongst in Europe, in the European Union, through a directive which outlaws discrimination on grounds of religion. And that directive was passed in order to be able to help people who face religious discrimination. There's similar legislation in the United States. So I think, you know, you need to make use of the legislation that exists, and this is supposed to be in all European member states. In some it's better than others, but it's supposed to be there. So one ought to be making use of those rights. Secondly,
referring to religion?
Referring to religion, refers specifically to religion. Mm. And if you have that protection, then you need to make use of it. Because look, the idea is whether one is happy with it or isn't happy with it, the fact of the matter is that there are millions of Muslims in the European Union. Yeah. And the statistical information is that they are disproportionately under 25. They're the young people, the younger. So these younger people from the Muslim communities, be it Turkish in Germany or the Moroccans in Netherlands or in France or the Pakistani Indians or Bangladeshis in England, they will be the future workforce. And the European Union recognizes that they need to be economically active. They don't want them to be unemployed or left to the side, because then that creates difficulties. So that's why they have legislation. So they need to be economically active. They need to be in the labor market. And therefore, and as a community, as Muslims, we need to enter that labor market and fight injustice. Mm. And you can use legislation. Secondly, you can, if you are actually in employment, you can raise internal grievances, as they are known. You have most organizations will have procedures where you can raise these particular issues. And many global companies recognize that they need a diverse workforce, that they need people drawn from different communities with different ways of approaching problems. Mm. And therefore, to answer your question, we need to take action to fight against injustice and discrimination.
But what would be the first ground? Because as we said, ethnicity was the first. Before we were talking about ethnicities. Now the people are saying you are transforming everything into a religious issue. Even on the job market, we no longer speak about socioeconomic injustices. We speak about religious discriminations and Islamophobia. And people are saying there is nothing like Islamophobia. This is something which is not happening. So I think that Muslims should take into account the whole atmosphere and try to find the best means to achieve their goals and what would be the strategy which is needed. Because more importantly, we also have to say that it might be that the strategies are not going to be the same depending on the country.
Of course. I mean, I think the strategies are, first of all, is raising understanding and awareness of the problem, and also getting across the sort of economic argument that with all these communities, they need to be economically active. They need to be allowed to work. We can't have ghettos in the suburbs of Paris. We can't have them either in Germany or in the UK. these communities need to be economically active because they can make a contribution to the economic betterment of Europe. And so we need to raise awareness of the problem so there is recognition that there is this discrimination, and that has been done to a certain extent. We have this legislation now, which people are not aware of it, and they need to make use of it. They need to bring claims in the courts and tribunals to raise the issues so that they can change the behavior of those individuals or companies that are engaging in discrimination. I don't think that it is in the economic interests of the bigger organizations to discriminate because they want the best people. They want talented people.
But this is exactly the point. You know, when I was at the grassroots level working with the Rotterdam municipality and were working on the job market, and I met with employers and they were saying, look, we had a problem here because we want the best people. But the problem that we have, and at that we were talking about the Turkish and the Moroccan people, all Muslims, say we have a problem, they don't come on time. They always, when we say anything that we are telling them, they end up saying, oh, you are a racist, you don't like Muslims. So there is a true problem here, which is the perception of the Muslims is problematic because they are perceived as, by definition, not being the best people.
No, I think that's a good point. I think every Muslim has a responsibility to be a role model, be an ambassador, so that they can sort of undermine and eliminate these stereotypical assumptions that are made. These employers are basing their perception maybe not always on sort of personal experiences of these are stereotypes which they get from the media and general mythology that this is the Arabs, you know, they're very docile, that they are very aggressive. You know, and the blacker community in the US and in the UK have had the same issues. Yes, they are seen perceived in that way.
In every country you have
That's right. And minority groups, you know, are labeled and have these stereotypes. The Jewish community were labeled in a particular way. They faced discrimination. They couldn't get into certain professions and into jobs in the early years of settlement in Europe. And that perception changed over time. And a lot of them created their own sort of organizations and companies and got into business
to get around it.
And maybe that's one of the strategies, is that Muslims need to be involved in business. They need to
be much more involved in economy and all the economic structures.
Yeah, and entrepreneurs. And we have a rich tradition of being entrepreneurs, of trading, and we therefore need to be able to engage in that self-help. And I think there are opportunities there for people if they can find organizations.
But there is also something that is there in what you are saying, is that from within the Muslim communities and the families, there is a great deal of commitment to change the mentality, sometimes to change this victim mentality that we have within the Muslim community, saying, oh, at the end of the day, I'm not getting the job because they don't like Arabs, and sometimes that they are not equipped, they don't have the skills. We also have to deal with this new personal narrative on what is happening. The second thing which I wanted to address here is another strategy that one of the other strategies that we got also, and we're talking about this, coming from the States, also here in the UK, but it was a big discussion in France, in Italy, is what is called affirmative action or positive discrimination. What is your take on this? Because many are saying, no, we shouldn't go that direction. It should be equal opportunity and that's it. And others are saying, no, we are not starting from the same at the same level, from the same common situation. So we need to have something which is affirmative action. What is your experience?
Well, I think, as you rightly said, this is a concept from the United States. It was put into practice in order to try and alleviate the discrimination suffered by African Americans, and it has proved successful. And it's based on this assumption that not everyone is on a level playing field, that you've got to actually push certain people into positions, and that they will thereby be role models and create that change which is needed within organizations for them to understand that not all people from that particular race or religion act in a particular way. And this is a requirement of the law. It is there. I mean, it's not a revolutionary concept, because the European Union have adopted it for women. You know, they say that women face a glass ceiling, that if you look at major corporations and senior people in public
government,
they have a glass ceiling, that they're not represented, and therefore there's new legislation which basically says that if there is a job where a man and woman are equal, then the woman should get priority. So positive action has been used for those groups that are seen as being disadvantaged. Women are one, and Muslims equally could be, because the situation in continental Europe, as opposed to the UK, is very serious. As the research has shown, particularly in France and Germany, it is very, very difficult. And not just those two countries, because the research has been done. You've mentioned cases involving Muslim women who wear headscarves. There have been cases in Denmark, cases in Germany as well. And it's eliminating and getting rid of that stereotype. So affirmative action, yes, I think that is one.
You would go for it.
Yeah,
it might appear to be very symbolic that, you know, for example, the people are saying, look, in the United States of America, we have the first African-American. But these are symbols, not always translating the reality of the ground, because still in the U.S. today, you have a great deal of, you know, discriminations on the ground for the African Americans.
I think I absolutely agree that the situation for African Americans is very, very serious. Affirmative action is one part of the solution. You could also look at South Africa. They had a similar situation where you had a white community that had been in power for a very long time, an African community that didn't have the chances, and they've adopted affirmative action in order to help them. But it is only one part of the jigsaw. The other parts are the ones that you've touched on, which is about self-help, about getting these communities to understand that they need to change the sort of narrative and approach.
So you are a lawyer, and you are working with cases at the grassroots level with people on both sides, the enterprises and also from the employees. Would you advise, you know, any British, German, French, Muslim living in his or her country to go and to sue the people and to go through the legal action? Is this the right way to be? Is just not to accept? Do you think that this is what we have also to nurture among the citizens? If we don't want a victim mentality, is to say, I'm not going to accept that there are laws in this country. I'm going to struggle for my rights. Would you? But at the same time, people are saying, by doing this, sometimes we are nurturing a sense of, when Muslims are here, there are always conflicts.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a dilemma, but I think the law can be a very important tool in social justice, in bringing about social change. And if you look at the history of the way that the law has developed, it does take individuals to bring action in courts and to get publicity around that, to stand up for their rights, to give meaning to the protection that they're provided. And if individuals don't make use of the law, then it'll just lie in the statute book and not actually mean anything in practice. So to answer, I mean, I think, yes, they should take that. Of course, you have to have a certain amount of courage, you have to be very determined, it can be difficult.
And you need to have some money.
It's very frustrating.
Yes, yeah.
But also, I mean, in the European Union, you know, the European Union have a website, they have information about help that can be given. Part of the framework was to create organizations that are able to assist in all the member countries. So in the UK, you have the Human Rights Commission. In France, you have a Human Rights Commission and body, and there are different organizations. And therefore, I think we need to build that network of people who are able to assist. And sometimes, you know, I've got friends who are Belgian lawyers and French lawyers, and they will take on cases for free and not charge you.
Yes,
because there are many, many people who feel it is wrong and unjust that someone should not get a job simply because of their race, simply because of their religion, or suffer at
yes.
work. And so, you know, contrary to the popular opinion about lawyers, there are some good people who take cases.
Yes, and more importantly, yeah. is also to go out of the religious community and to find people from
Precisely.
Our fellow citizens
exactly.
who are aware of the situation and they are ready for the
exactly.
struggle. We had this situation for women, for example,
Precisely.
That they were very, very, very happy and more importantly, ready not to take money justice to support the woman. One word that you would add about the woman, because it seems that the Muslim women are doubly victim on the job market. So what would be your advice for a woman to struggle with her headscarf? To do what exactly? Because some are just asking us, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they should bring a claim, take action, because that's how we get change. And if you look at my own experiences, that the global companies, the big financial sort of institutions, the banks and others, are recognized and do take action. I think women who are Muslims who face problems should bring claims and raise sort of action in whatever way they can.
Thank you so much. I think that during the discussion, it's quite clear that the Muslims in the West, in the States and in Europe are facing discriminations. The point is, how do we react to this first? And this is something which is important, is to bring awareness within the Muslim communities, but throughout the society, that something is changing here, that there is something that we can call religious discriminations. And from this, to try to find strategies to struggle. One of them could be to create, you know, enterprises and to become, you know, involved in the economic dimension, in the economic field, in the socio-economic, involved in anything that can bring employment to people. The second is also to what you were saying, for example, is to promote this positive or affirmative action, which is one of these strategies. It cannot be the strategy, but it's one of the strategies. And the last thing is really wherever it is possible to struggle for one's rights and not to let the people think that because the citizens are Muslims, it's going to be easy to discriminate the people. Many strategies and awareness, it's important, and to be involved, avoiding, as we repeated here, the victim mentality. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is how to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Maqbool Javed. Thank you for sharing your experience with us, and I hope to see you next week, inshallah.